Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, when you think about a great customer experience, your mind often goes to payment options, security, mobile ordering, and convenience. And really, when you look across many industry verticals, you can see that a lot have adopted this mindset. But one particular vertical of convenience stores and gas stations have lagged a little bit behind. And with the upcoming EMV liability shift of April 2021, owners and operators have the chance to turn their investment of the upgrade into a real opportunity to drive a superior customer experience and turn what could be a significant revenue loss due to fraud into a significant return on investment for years to come. So to talk about the liability shift and how owners and operators can capitalize on their investment, I have Brian Ducharme, who is the VP of Product Management at Transaction Network Services, and Dan Lyman, who is the head of FinTech Payments North America at Transaction Network Services, and Tim Sloan, who is the VP of Payments Innovation at Mercator Advisor Group. So there's certainly a lot of great insights to take away from today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show. So Dan, Brian, and Tim, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. We're really taking a look at this EMV deadline that's there for petrol stations in particular for this. Now, Tim, as I've come to understand, you've done quite a bit of research taking a look at this this market in this upcoming liability shift for those owners and operators. And perhaps maybe you could kind of, we could set the table, so to speak, here, and maybe kind of give a little bit of a market overview so we can kind of understand this conversation a little bit better with that context.
Sure, Ryan. You know, when we started looking at the potential cost to owner operators, given the liability shift, which is what, roughly 6 or 7 months away, when we looked at the high risk owner operators that are in a geography that's high risk, we came to realize that the potential loss is very high. And that was then. Now we're in the middle of COVID and the pandemic, and we see the consumers' behaviors shifting almost instantly to leverage contactless mobile type technology to try to limit how often they have to go into stores, how often they have to touch anything. And so what has evolved is a very difficult time for owner operators that are trying to wrestle with the loss of revenue from the pandemic, as well as this looming liability shift, which I feel confident I can say is not going to go away. The networks are not going to once again delay this. And so there's both an opportunity and a threat. If you do nothing, you're sitting in the middle of the pandemic and not reacting to the changing consumer behaviors, and you're about to face a larger liability risk. However, if you take the moment to understand how you can adopt and change and leverage those consumer behaviors to increase your revenue with more items at the pump, to be able to support contactless and mobile at the pump, then there's an opportunity to really differentiate yourself in the marketplace.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, Tim. You know, and there's a lot of things there that I certainly think that were great that you pointed out. One, you know, I certainly agree with you in the fact that I don't think that we're going to get that there's going to be another delay. There was already one delay for owners and operators there for the upgrade. So I really think that this next upcoming deadline is going to be the deadline with no further extension added to it. The question that I really got for you then, Dan, is that are you starting to kind of see a bit of a rush or kind of a, hey, we as owner operators recognize that we need to get going and comply with this this new regulation and this update that's coming up? So what is it that you're seeing and hearing from owners and operators about this liability shift?
Thanks, Ryan. Yeah, I think it's you know, basically as you described it, I think that there is a bit of surprise over the magnitude of the potential liability that they will be subject to if they haven't made the updates to their systems to support EMV. So I think that's more significant than they probably expected. And again, I think that to your point, rather than just looking at the investment as an avoidance of that liability shift, certainly the technology improvements that they make they enable opportunities for new revenue streams, and amongst those are it's really about the opportunity to turn that fuel dispenser into a rich consumer engagement tool. You're sitting there for 3 or 4 minutes fueling your vehicle, and it's an opportunity to engage with you with personalized content, not only to drive you into the store to gather something or to have something delivered to you from the store, and improving the opportunity to collect a sale while you're there at the dispenser fueling your vehicle. But also there's opportunity for third-party ad revenues, and we've seen evidence that there is interest from some of the large consumer product brands to capture that opportunity through that additional engagement platform.
I agree with what Dan was saying. Even if the liability shifts get delayed again, although I don't think that will happen, non-upgrading systems to accommodate safer systems will keep, the retailer and the business at risk. So the imperative here is to leverage the updated capabilities to not only protect your transactions, but to secure your business as well. We've seen a significant uptake in fraud, both from phishing and malware, and that's been reported by a variety of sources, including the network. So we anticipate that as we enter into the fall, fraudsters have taken the summer off, and we're going to see additional risk to any of the locations that are still using legacy transactions.
So I kind of want to get from your perspective, Dan, what we were talking about there. I want to kind of get a little maybe compare and contrast, if we will, if perhaps maybe your organization is kind of seeing the same things that we were talking about there.
Yeah, we are, Ryan. Again, and this is pre-pandemic. I know that we commissioned a survey of consumers and really looked at this again was in 2019, again, before the lockdowns and the economy sort of shut down or at least partially shut down. And really the feedback that we got from consumers was that they were very open to receiving other forms of engagement while at the fuel dispenser. So exactly the things that we just talked about, Ryan, in terms of offers to enter the store and purchase something, engage with them in trivia contests, anything that that the retailer would like to do to strengthen their brand presence with consumers. There seems to be a strong affinity, for at least based on the survey results that we had, for consumers to engage that way, again at the fuel dispenser during that time that they're pretty much captive, standing there anyway.
Certainly true. I mean, our own consumer research supports that as well. Consumers are looking to maximize their time, get maximum convenience, and anything they can do to consolidate trips, limit their exposure, is going to be a good thing and is going to change their behavior to support your facilities.
Yeah, and Tim, just one other point on that, and I think this is intuitive because this certainly wasn't in scope of the survey results, but logic would suggest that the pandemic has even strengthened that consumer sentiment in that it does provide an opportunity to purchase something with one transaction that you're doing at the dispenser anyway, and not have to have additional physical contact inside the store to make that transaction, or even having the buying something and having it delivered out to the dispenser, which we know is an idea that some of the more innovative fuel and convenience retailers have been discussing.
having spent additional time at more convenience locations in the past few months, I'm amazed at the good work that the stores have done to adjust the environment to make visitors and guests feel safe. But I'm also pleased at what they've been doing to make sure that customers are engaging with rewards programs. I've recently joined an additional two during site visits, and so far they've made it very easy. That's going to be important as we try to mitigate and prevent fraud. And certainly the work that we're doing at TNS to enable secure connections for the upgraded forecourt is part of that defense strategy to protecting the business.
I'd like to kind of bring it to somewhat of our last question here for it. So, Dan, now that we've been talking about the EMV upgrade deadline, what else is it that your organization in particular are doing to help owners and operators see this as a business decision that avoids costs and create revenue?
Yeah, I think if you just look at it in a vacuum and you're looking at it as the spend that you need to avoid the liability shift, I still think that the case is stronger probably than most retailers thought it was before really seeing the data that we provided in the model. And again, I think the magnitude of that liability is greater than most probably think it is. But again, through the same technology upgrades, or certainly through a piggyback, if you will, on the technology upgrades that are required for EMV, you get the high resolution displays, you get the opportunity to drive content to those displays, and in combination with other technology opportunities, you can even identify who that consumer is when they put their card into the dispenser to make a transaction, or wave their card at the dispenser to make a transaction. So, you know, what we're trying to do is really make it easier for those retailers to make those investments. And admittedly, the network solution part of the overall investment is not a large portion of the investment, but what we're trying to do is defer as much of that expense, or provide an opportunity for the retailers that are ready to move to defer as much of that expense up front as they can, recognizing that 2020 has put a significant stress on everybody's budgets, right? So what we're doing is, based on the term of the commitment, we're allowing a greater deference or deferral, if you will, of those of the expenses associated with our solution. And again, the goal is to push as much of that additional cost liability out in hopes that the impact of the pandemic are going to be lessened on the corporate enterprise budgets. The other thing that, again, by moving sooner, I think what it offers the retailer an opportunity to avoid is the resource conflict, right? I mean, the EMV liability shift is coming. It's 7 months away now. And if everybody waits until Q1 of next year, there's going to be a backlog of strain on the resources that are required to do the work. And those retailers are more than likely going to end up missing the date and having a period of time where they are liable for the EMV liability anyway. So does that answer your question, Ryan?
Yeah, no, I certainly think it does. And I think that you also brought up a very fantastic point there at the end in terms of just the resource allocation and not waiting till the last minute, because, there are a finite amount of resources. And hey, you do have a specific deadline that you need to get this the update completed by. But one thing I kind of want to leave our audience with here is that you talked about some of the more progressive stores here. And I'd kind of really like to maybe bring to light some of those different capabilities that are possible as kind of a last reminder that, hey, it's not just about the becoming compliant and the liability shift, but it's kind of that additional upgrade. And here's what's possible when you kind of look at it just beyond the liability upgrade tasks that need to be completed here. So perhaps maybe you could kind of give us a couple things that you're seeing in the marketplace that are possible when a store does this technology upgrade.
Sure. As an example, and we kind of referred to some of these earlier, but just to give you some examples, if you were to go, Ryan, if you were to go up in your vehicle and pull up to a fuel dispenser, it's certainly possible that you get out of your vehicle, you either wave your card at the dispenser or you insert your chip card into the dispenser. And at that time, based on that read of your details, the retailer is able to identify who it is that's interacting at the dispenser, and they can target content specifically at you. So it's individualized, and in that case, if you're part of the loyalty program or if you're a frequent visitor at that particular location, and I think most of us probably use the same fuel stations many times over and over again, right? So there's an opportunity then for them to, based on your prior behavior, to make offers to you that are relevant to you and offer messaging that's relevant to you as an individual. I think the last thing that I would raise, which is probably going to be viewed by retailers also as another cost avoidance, but it's really about point-to-point encryption capabilities and, the opportunity to also piggyback on some of these technology investments to further secure the data. And really what that enables them to do is it generally the result of that investment will generally be a reduction in their PCI exposure and their PCI scope risk. And it also does provide, some protection against the brand if there was a data breach. Obviously, that's something that the major brands in particular certainly don't want to have affiliated with. But as any size operator, you don't want to be the target of a data breach and have your customers' data compromised at your location. So I think those are all things that could be, ancillary benefits of the technology upgrades that are going to be required for to support EMV anyway.
Excellent. Well, Dan, Tim, and Brian, thank you so much for taking the time today and speaking to me about this EMV upgrade and the liability shift. And I hope to have all of you back on the podcast real soon.